All right, and so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. It's for years already now we have been on the air. We started with the Mondays only. Today it is the 8th month, August 17th of 2016. My name is Gijs Binderhout, calling from Magalia, California. This is, as usual, a simultaneous conference call. Another ding means another person dialing in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Gail from New Jersey.
Good evening, Gail, and welcome to the call.
Oh, good evening to you, too.
All right. Thank you for being here. So, in the meantime, we are 1 minute away from the hour, and we'll hang in here and wait for Winfrey and Terry Brown to become present on the call so we can start the session with, if you have questions, we got answers. It's quite exciting. Every time different. Very, very important and interesting information be broadcast. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Joni in St. Louis.
Welcome, Joni. How are you doing?
Pretty well. How are you?
All right. So, Joni, after all, I'm starting to play your most favorite song ever.
I noticed. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Give your hand.
That is such a beautiful song, isn't it?
It is. We had more people joining on the phone. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, Rick, Iowa City.
Welcome to the call, Rick.
Thank you.
Who else joined in? Please say name and location.
Hey, it's Deb in Lapine, Oregon.
Welcome, Deb. How are you doing?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
At least you're in the Pines. All right, welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Hello.
Good evening to you, and welcome to the call. And I heard Don, I believe. Hi, Don.
Hi, how's it going? Hi, Northern Ohio.
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Thank you for being here. Another Wednesday.
Yep. No rent to him.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Teddy. Good evening, and great to have you here. And thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Much love.
Thank you.
All right.
Much love back.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Awesome.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Did I see Chris come in through the back door?
That's me, man.
Hey, Chris. Welcome to the call.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for being here. Somebody else came in with you. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Suzanne in Columbus.
Suzanne, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing good, Heis. Thank
you. All right. Are you happy?
Yes, I am. I am.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Teddy, do you know about when his whereabouts, his activities, his state of mind?
Yeah. He asked me 3 minutes ago if I was ready.
Okay.
So, he should be here any minute.
All right, good. Have you had a good day, Terry?
Yeah, it was a good day.
All right.
We have a thunderstorm.
You're kind of like fading away your phone line, I guess. We had somebody else joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. What is my phone line?
Yeah,
I hear Terry's breaking up.
Okay, you hear Terry?
Yeah, she's breaking
up. I hear you folks clear.
Yeah.
Okay, now I hear you good. Yes, all right. So how is the weather in Sedona, Terry?
Thunderstorms.
Thunderstorms,
and rain.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice. I'm jealous.
Yeah,
we need some
yeah
rain
you
here.
Need it.
Certainly.
People in Louisiana should sell all that extra water to you guys in California.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of water yearly streaming through Northern California, but it's, I guess there are every drip has a price tag on it, and they're sending it down south, I believe.
There's a guy in Coast to Coast recently, a few days ago, was talking about he had some technology he says can clean up water. He's specifically talking about fracking, but
yes,
this would apply to other things. Using, I don't know if he's using magnetism. I actually missed part of it, so I didn't get all the details.
Yeah, I heard some of that. It sounded, if you could clean up the fracking water, that'd be great.
Yes.
You could clean all water, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, you know, because they are also have been projects and probably going on to make drink water from ocean water.
Right, this desalination, that's been around for a long time. This is
different. But I mean, in big quantities and affordable,
right.
I guess.
Yep.
Well, I've had somebody else on in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
My name is Carolyn, and I'm in Chico. And what is it you're talking about that's in the ocean?
No, we were talking
about water in the ocean.
I know. You were talking about something else. Come on.
Desalination. We're talking about cleaning up water, desalination.
Good.
Not just desalination, but cleaning polluted water. There's a guy in Coast to Coast about a week.
Yeah, if you can, from that fracking, that would be, I mean, and there's a lot of dirty water that become, you know, that can
a
use
lot of toxins. Yeah, these this pretty toxic soup that they pump down there, from what I understand.
And how about radioactivated water?
Water, you mean how to do...
They say you do that, too.
They do that, too, yeah?
Radiation out.
Yeah.
Did he mention that on that show? I didn't hear that.
Radioactive water would be deadly, wouldn't it?
They can deactivate it.
Oh. How?
I don't know.
By reducing the halftime over and over and over and over.
He was talking about magnetism for one thing. So if he said that, it would probably have something to do with intense magnetic fields.
Yes.
Huh.
I think there's probably more than one way to do it. Years ago, I heard some.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
What did you say?
Welcome, Lynn.
I heard somebody say there's something called photo deactivation. You could get rid of radioactivity by bombarding something with X-rays, and that whatever the particle is, it would
I'll check the guy's website. What's his name again?
What was that?
But the gentleman's name. I went to his website. Quite interesting.
Oh yeah. I don't remember now. It's been a while.
Well, this is very interesting because we are in such big trouble with pollution and toxic everything, or so many things.
Also, another guy's on Coast to Coast. His name is Raymond Grace, and he is known primarily as a dowser, and apparently he's starting a project where it's sort of a group thing, kind of like what we're doing, but he says that his goal was to neutralize pollution by breaking, using thought and intention to break down pollution into its base elements. And if you probably look at Raymond Grace's website, there'd probably be information on that.
He's really a service to others person, I'll tell you that.
But we need that so badly. If more people could know about it, more people would be involved in working it.
Right.
Envision it.
That idea has been around for a while. I mean, it was Maharishi Yogi or whatever. They had their meditations where they're supposed to reduce crime and things by meditating. And I think by focusing, you know, if you focused on any topic, you could, with a group, using power of group intention, you could probably improve all sorts of things.
You know, they use sound, too. They said some of the oil spills, they used 528 hertz to clean up some oil spills.
Oh, interesting.
Chris, you're sounding really good tonight. Good work.
Man, I have been doing good for a while now.
All right.
Yeah, keep it up. I can tell. I can feel your energy. Yeah. Hey, is Don Durham here?
You know, you could sing right now with Sammy Hagar. I found out this week that Sammy Hagar, he channels. When he was 19, he started. And
he had the experiences and UFO stuff.
Yes, yes. He said that that song, When Love Walks In.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
It was from a channeling on 5150.
Hey, excuse me one second. Is Don Dorham here?
Hey, Don Herman?
Don.
Oh. You're close, Don.
Not Don Herman. Okay. Is my voice good tonight?
Sounds great.
Yeah.
You're Skyping, right?
Pardon me?
You're Skyping?
I'm Skyping, right.
All right.
Okay.
It's pure, clear, yeah. Yes.
It better than normal?
Yes, it does.
All right. Okay, here we go.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is August 17th, 2016, Wynn and Terry in Arizona. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
You are?
Here I am.
Can you get a little closer to your mic?
Let me try. Is this better?
Better, yeah. Much better.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get right into it. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and we are going to do a session where we ask questions on behalf of all of you who submitted your questions. And I just like to note that you should evaluate and draw your own conclusions if it resonates with you. Channelings are not meant to give up your power, okay? They're meant to make you think, provoke you, and, you know, when Terry is channeling, she's pretty good, but she can have her own bleed through, or sometimes, you know, she moves into the space where she becomes one of them. So it's not, I don't know if bleed through is the right word. It can be valuable, but people, they talk through, as I've learned it, they talk through the person's personality structures, and if somebody has strong opinions, they wouldn't be a good channel because they would have a hard time being with that person and coming through and working around their strong opinions. They do have to work around the opinions of others. So, for example, if you listen to Carla Ruckert's work in the Ra material, you know, she had very strong religious things and connection with Jesus. So they would never do anything that would threaten that connection. So in any case, our experience has been these sessions are very valuable for people. And if you haven't asked a question and you're listening, when you get the feel of it, I suggest you try asking a question. And the best kind of question is the one that goes into the deepest depths of your own distortions. If you can identify your distortions and see how you can work around it, get through it, okay? And let me turn it over to our sources so they can greet everybody.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are mindful of everyone that's on the line or everyone that would listen to the transcript or to the playback in the future or read the transcript. We are here with you and going directly to you. We do not go through the telephone lines. And we are delighted to be here. And as Wynn was saying, if we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, then set it to the side as it does not apply to you at this time. And use your own judgment and your own discretion. So anything that we might say, use it only as a guideline. Not as something to be blindly believed. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. We have a question from Dave Ferringer in Grove City, Pennsylvania. Sometimes when I am talking to someone about spiritual topics, I feel a distinct energy change. I will have new things come to mind in a smooth flow. I assume this info is coming into my crown chakra. My questions are, when this energy is high, why do I physically feel lighter? And am I correct in assuming when I feel lighter, I am on the right track with the conversation? Thank you for all the very helpful information. And Dave, I can say that that's something that I've experienced for a long time, even before we started doing this work, and when I would write songs or when I would talk to people, you know, what happens is, to me, it indicates that part of you exists in these higher dimensions. And when you start talking, and you already had that connection, in maybe from past lives or this life, and the conversation can tap you into that energy, and suddenly you're not really channeling, you're just talking, but you're wiser. This is how I experience it. You're wiser than you remembered yourself being. Let me turn it over to our sources and see what they say. Thank you.
Thank you. When you are accessing data through your crown chakra, there is much data that you can access. There's a library of information that you can tune into and bring in data that is beyond your scope of your individual knowledge. And you can bring it in. And as you connect with that, you let go of some of the ground frequencies, the lower frequencies, and it is not unusual to feel lighter. You can feel lighter and more connected. So there are libraries out there, information, pools of information, that when you are able to and you learn how to do it, you can move through your crown chakra and access that data and bring it in. Data that you are surprised because you didn't know it was there, but it is there and it's for the ones that can reach through the crown chakra and can move into that area, can bring in immense wisdom.
Thank you. If Terry can get a little closer to the microphone, it would be good.
I'm it's right up against my mouth.
Okay, we can hear you, though, so we'll just leave it, all right? This is from Merrill Woodard. I don't see her city, but we don't need it because it's kind of a general question. And if souls like Carla and Uncle Terry give their lives in service to others, even as in Dr. Friedman's case, healing others, why did they need to suffer so much from ill health and die, in my view, before their time? It appears they were needing to learn something, but they were already living from love, so what else is necessary to learn? Merrill Woodard, thank you.
Thank you. In the case of, if you take a look at the case of Terry Friedman, he had a lot to get over, and that as Matthew, he was a tax collector, and he took advantage of people because of his position, asking them for taxes that they didn't really owe. And Jesus worked with him to help them get over it and told them that he needed to give the money back. When Jesus sometimes would joke, if you look in the Bible, in his conversations, he would say, if an individual does not listen and you get other people together to try to make things clear and he still does not listen, he may be a corrupt tax collector. It was, Terry had a lot of things to get through, a lot of lessons to learn still, yet he was able to move into the vibration of Jesus and to express Jesus through words when he wanted, when he would do this at will, yet he still had things within the third dimension life to learn. It is concerning health. One misstep, leaving out one nutrient in one's diet, can create a concatenation of problems with the body. Also, there are many reasons, because when one is in the third dimension, the individual may have contracted to suffer, to learn, so that they could then see what it was like to be in the realm and to have the difficulties so that they would learn to be a better guide. They would know what people were going through. They would know that people were suffering and what it meant to suffer, so that they would be a more rounded guide in the future. Each circumstance is individual to the person, and there is no answer that fits all. Every person is individual and moving through the lessons they need to learn.
you know, something to add to this, since I know Terry Friedman and Carla Ruckert really well, I know myself, and I know Terry Brown really well, and, you know, there's an illusion that when we do this work, that we're all perfect, because what happens is we merge with the higher realms when we do it, and our own distortions are put to the side. But we certainly have distortions, and, you know, we could spend a whole hour talking about them, at least, both Terry, myself, Carla, and Terry Friedman. And, you know, it's very easy to bang. Some distortions are not just mental. They're kind of in your track, particularly on old souls. And so we're working on our distortions as well. I think there is an illusion, and I used to have this illusion, that, you know, in one fell swoop you become enlightened and everything becomes perfect. And I don't think that happens. I think it's a constant flow that one is involved in, and that no matter how high the experience is, one is still working out certain levels of distortion, or I don't know if distortion creates the right image, but say certain levels of lower frequency track, because when you're in a body, you need to have that track to stay in the body, okay? So in any case, next question here is from Don Herman. Concerning the so-called veil that separates the physical mind from the higher mind, the veil does not seem to create the same level of obstacle for everyone. For example, Terry Brown and others seem to be able to bypass the veil to access higher realms and information. What is it that allows someone like Terry to navigate through the veil? Can this ability become available to the rest of us? Thank you, Don Herman. I want to mention, Don, most people, it would be dangerous to access this. And the reason it would be dangerous is that people tend to give up their power and constantly want to know what's going on and be told what to do from sources that allegedly seem higher and wiser than you. And if you start talking to one of those sources and you have the predisposition to give up your power, you will very likely get a negative source who wants you to give up your power and start directing you and making you feel exalted, and it will be destructive. Even when you start out with a positive source, the nature of people to give up their power and have someone else tell them what to do and to please someone else is an invitation to the negative, from my experience. So let me turn it over to our sources and hear what they have to say.
Thank you. It is a matter of tuning, like the tuning in of a radio station. One sets aside the body frequencies, one sets aside any problems going on, one sets aside the thoughts, one clears one's space, and then, like tuning of a radio, finds the frequency of the Elohim Ra group, finds that frequency and locks in on it, like someone is tuning a radio and finds a station and locks in on that station. then all of the body systems are bypassed, and you can bring in a direct contact. It takes practice to be able to tune. Carla Rucker also was able to tune masterfully, and it takes one's attention, and it takes a safe space so that one does not get drawn into side things. One needs to be careful because sometimes negative entities can try to emulate the frequency of source, but one, they never can duplicate it accurately. There is a purity to source that one can resonate with and bring in information and give information back and exchange information. So it is a matter of tuning.
You know, I wanted to mention that one time we did a workshop, and this is something any of you can try. It's a very interesting exercise. And when we did a workshop on this, almost everybody did it. Sit down and do a little meditation, and then just say to yourself, I would like the presence of the Christed energy, the law of one, and start writing down, ask yourself the question, what would a master say to me in terms of guiding me? And start writing, and don't monitor yourself. Don't worry if anything sounds stupid. Don't stop. Keep writing and writing and writing, and then look at it later and see what you got. And when we did this, everybody tapped in to a high aspect of themselves and got great wisdom and advice for themselves. And, you know, when you're asking for phenomenal information, like when's the earthquake, when's this, those are things that can tempt a negative source. But when you're asking for, give me the guidance for me to be all that I can be, you'd be surprised how well you have the ability to access that. So just start writing. If anyone does that, let me know what they get, okay? And next question is, this is from Dan in Spokane, Washington. I have heard that it is important for the living to pray for the dead. I would like to know if there's something specific to pray for them or a particular intent. Also, if the source could elaborate on the relationship between the living and the dead and our mutual evolution. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. That is a great question. As when one dies, often others, the loved ones can't hear them anymore and don't know that they are still there. And if the living one can put forth their thoughts as if they were really talking to the dead person, unless they have left the arena, unless they have left, they can hear. And it is hard to maintain a conversation when you aren't sure if you are being heard or not. But it takes a great sensitivity to be able to have a conversation and hear the person that has passed over and to see what they are saying and talk to them. And if one has the sensitivity, they can have a regular conversation with the person that has passed over, if the person who has passed over is paying attention, sometimes when somebody passes over, they're just, they pack their bags and they're gone, or they go through the tunnel of light and they go to heaven and get their life review. But if they are still hanging around, it can do the soul a great deal of good to let them know that you know that they are still here and that they are still loved. And it can help them, speed them on their way, that they then aren't treated like somebody that's just disappeared, because they haven't, unless they have packed their bags and gone to the heaven realm or to another realm. It takes a great sensitivity to be able to have a give-and-take conversation with those on the other side that have passed. But if you still don't know that, you can't hear them, but if you still talk to them, even that will help.
It seems to me that if someone has died, has passed, and you can feel their energy, if you had learned to feel their energy when they were alive, in other words, if they came into the room, you could feel their space, you can tune into their energy, then what you tuned into would be the same energy that you would tune into when they don't have a body, and that they have a resonance to that. And from what I've learned, that when you tune into somebody's energy that's deceased, I think if you talk out loud to them as if they can hear you, then it seems to me that's better than thinking thoughts. But I just wanted to have a card.
Yes, it is. It is. Because you are grounding yourself in the conversation, first of all, by talking out loud. And they can hear you. They may not be adept at picking up telepathy if you are merely talking with telepathy.
Okay, next question from Kathleen. And in, I think, Albuquerque. And she had a bunch of family in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And there was a huge storm there that flooded some of her close relatives. She watched the storm on radar, and it stayed in the same area, swirling around and around. It seemed to be unusual behavior for a weather system. And she's asking, was this a natural phenomena? And if not, was there something unnatural that was keeping the storm in that area? Thank you.
When was the storm?
I think within the last week.
And what city? Where was the storm?
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, yes. There was a stalling of the storm. It was caught between, it was a low pressure area, and it was unable to move due to the differences in pressure, and it was locked in, and so it rained an unusual amount, causing a great deal of flooding and great damage to the area. that was caught in the storm. Go ahead.
I just was going to ask a second part to her question, so go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The second part to her question is, you know, the storm kind of devastated the homes, or at least one of the homes, of one of her relatives. And she's asking, was he being punished for something? Why is it that some people end up with such terrible, what does it say here? Is there a lesson for them to learn? All of them, some of them, or a lesson for the rest of the world to learn? Why are things like this happening? If there's a reason. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. One can look at the lesson. It is a very hard lesson to learn. That there are other factors, there are other causes, other things going on that one is not entitled to everything going right. One who is in the third density needs to give, might we say, homage to other factors that are going on. It is not always the best for the individual that needs to go through suffering. However, all of the factors come together to create the circumstance, and very often it is something outside of one's control that is bringing forth the circumstance, and it strengthens one to be able to ride it out, to be able to move to the neighbors, to develop friendship, to accept help. These are things that make one stronger and more flexible within the circumstances given to them in their life.
Thank you. You know, it's very interesting. On the questions coming in, we've gotten three questions tonight about people who are asking questions about channeling. It's amazing how questions come in groups like that, okay? Now, this is a very interesting question from a gentleman named Don in Monterey. And he sent me a couple of emails and was saying he was having a similar experience with his partner as I was having with Daphne. And he discovered us, and he's been reading our material, and I think he's listening tonight. And he's asked a question. My name is Don. I'm in Monterey, though I am usually referred to by these and other illustrious sources as the student. It seems to be sort of a pet name, as I was saying to Wynn, sort of like a mascot. So the student who is ecstatic with this opportunity is honored to offer humble gratitude, adoration, and greetings to the Elohim, to the others, to the whole of the illustrious presence focused in this context, and to each and all of the beloved world audience gathered here. My question has two sides. Is there anything we ourselves can do specially for the Elohim and the others, immediately focused and present at this space-time, which these sources would like to articulate? And do the Elohim or the others have any questions for us? Thank you all for everything. And just to make a comment, for me, it took me quite a long time to validate that I was really talking to the Elohim. And, you know, for the longest time, I would say, well, even on these calls, I would say the source that identified itself as the Elohim. So as I read Don's email, if our sources want to say anything about it, they can. But I'm just going to say, because he's saying he believes it's true, and it just very well could be, and the guy seems like a very highly intended guy and trying to unfold how to use this experience in service. It's like, we'll turn it over to our sources and see how they address it. And thank you, Don, for trusting us with the question. And go ahead.
Thank you. We send you greetings. And one of the things that we receive from the channeling experience is connection. It is like coming home, like meeting the lost person who has been gone for a very long time. And it is very energy heartwarming to us to reconnect. Keep up the work you are doing. Tune wisely. We are a little bit higher frequency, but we are there. So keep working. Come into the calls and see where our energies lie, and then have your front tune a little bit higher, but she is on the right track. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Don, for asking us the question and trusting what we're doing. And next question. See, I said we got all these questions in the same department. My name is Valerie Nelson in Livermore, California. I am still very cautious about the channeling process. It seems my intuition is on fire, and people are drawn to me to ignite them, I guess you would say. I love people, but sometimes feel very drained as the drama is a bit much. So I have to back up and protect, but not leave them in the dust, so to speak. My question is, I believe I could channel and help in a whole new way. Is this a good direction for me? Am I capable of doing so? Either way, let me know your thoughts, and thank you so much for all you do. And I want to say this to Valerie and to Don. One of the things I have learned, one of the major lessons was the most important aspect of a human experience is co-creation, and that I do my best at letting channeling be a catalyzation force for co-creation. What is co-creation? Co-creation is, you know, there's an Indian saying, namaste. The God in me recognizes the God in you. Well, you can just say that, but when you actually do that, you know, there's a coalescing of energies, and we create a group energy in this realm, and that the higher sources come into that group energy, and not only do they give amazing knowledge and wisdom and perceptions, but they kind of join the energy and amp it up. They help us help ourselves. So it's a good goal, if it feels right to you, to observe how you can use channeling experience to help people love each other in this realm. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus said. How would you know God? Love God with all your... let me guess. He said, love God with all your heart, but it was something about love your neighbor as yourself. And it's easier said than done. And you can't just love your neighbor like a fool. You can't throw your pearls before swine, but you can do it. Let me just turn the question over to our sources. Valerie's question about channeling and her intuition and attracting people to herself.
Thank you. Be sure to have enough rest. If it is making you feel drained in the contact with people, then be sure to set aside some time for you to be alone and to meditate and to heal and to take some time for yourself. Follow the channelings and tune in to the frequencies, because it is through tuning in to the frequencies that you see here that you can duplicate the connection. Thank you.
Thank you. It's 6:54, and we still have a question. Let me see.
6:51 over here.
It's 6:51. Let me see.
California time.
Maybe you're right. Okay. I can't even find my computer. Says 6:54. All right. Let's try a quick question then. Okay. Deb Wren in Lapine, Oregon asks, what can we do to block the microwaves from us? They haven't been doing a lot of chemtrails in the past month here in my location, but the microwaves are causing physical issues in the body. Thank you. Now, I don't know if she's referring to HARP, if HARP are microwaves, or smart meters. And so let's just say she's having the experience of some kind of electrical interference on her body from outside of herself. And what can she do to help that?
Thank you. There are devices that can block the microwaves. If you are experiencing them from different sources, then you would need to isolate the sources of the microwaves. Are there any cell phone towers near you? Are the smart meters on the other side of your wall? Are the HARP frequencies in play? at the time. There are devices to defuse the microwaves that you can set up in your home that will help manage that. You can check for things that diffuse the microwaves. If you do research work, you can find some that help diffuse the microwaves. Also, you can increase the electrical potential of your own body. If you pursue, and it could be expensive, devices manufactured by Jerry Tennant to increase the electrical potential of your own body, this can help you also.
Can one increase their own energy field strong enough so that, just using the power of your mind, so those external influences don't impact you as much?
One can, however, when one is asleep at night, it can overtake you. If you get a meter to measure microwave effect, that might be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. You know what? We had some very good questions tonight that I didn't get to. And I have to apologize because I think there were a couple of people that were asking questions for the first time. Aaron asked the question in Ohio. Please ask it again, Aaron. He's not for the first time, I don't think. And let's see. Tad asked a question in Cincinnati. And wait a second here. Let me just see. I just want to acknowledge the people for asking questions, that we did get your questions. We have Don Herman asked another question. Edna asked a question. Joni asked a question. Rich Buckley asked a question. And there was AA who wanted to know their life purpose. And please ask that next week, okay? And two people wanted to know their life purpose. Three people were asking about channeling. See how that comes in cycles? It amazes me. But in any case, thank you all so much for being here and supporting this and holding space and energy for this. And we're going to end this call. And maybe Heise is going to play some music at the end of it. Heise picks the songs, not me. I got to jump in fast to play a song these days, but it's okay.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank everyone,
thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. This was very interesting.
Wait, hi.
Love life for all.
Who wants to wait?
Good night, everybody.
Let everybody say
good night,
something,
hi. Love life to everyone.
Thank you.
Much love to you all. Thank you so much, Vin and Terry, and our sources and everybody here.
Yes.
Hi.
Thanks, Vin. Thanks, Terry. That person who is, that woman who was talking before the show started wanting to know about dwelling on negative vibrations, if you go to #1, I'll see what I can do to explain it.
Okay.
Are you still here, May?
Say that again.
I wonder if May is still here on the line.
May, are you there?
She might have left.
Maybe she went to pound one already. I'll go over there and see.
So, yes, thank you, thank you. I was going to ask you guys earlier when we were talking about this before the call. Good luck.
It's good not to just rush in with the music. Sometimes
No. I thought it was like a very slow intro, but it was not.
Okay. All right.
Nothing but good intentions. Thank you so much. Much love.